Alrighty, hello and welcome to the First Generation Roundtable, a two-part mini-series about first-generation identities and how we navigate them. Today we have managed to get five people who represent three different generations into a tiny, tiny room in order to discuss our experiences as well as just have fun with you, the listener. First, let us introduce ourselves.
I'm Joe. I am a millennial. And currently, I am going back to school for journalism in French.
My name is Betty. I am Gen Z, and I am a full-time student for journalism and media communications.
My name is Jimena. I am a wiser millennial, and I am interim head of student success at the Morgan Library, and I'm also a PhD student working on preliminary exams for organizational development.
I am Michelle. I am a senior instructor in the journalism department, and I am Gen X.
I'm Mike Humphrey. I'm Gen X as well, about 2 years ahead in the Gen X rankings. I'm Michelle. I'm an assistant professor in the journalism and media communication department.
So, without further ado, come along and join us in our conversation here on the First Gen Roundtable.
All right, excellent. So what kind of motivated us to be the first ones to go to college?
I think I'll go. What motivated me was just my parents coming from Ethiopia and kind of always making sure that, like, I knew that's why they were here, was to get me better education, really. So hearing that, I think it motivated me to, like, make my parents proud to begin with. And then when I got here, I realized I didn't want to be here, so I left. But then when I came back, for myself and realizing that I wanted to be more than just a statistic of a dropout, like a African-American dropout. I wanted to, you know, strive for something in a career that I loved, and that's why I'm here now.
That's very fair. Yeah, it can definitely be a little daunting to be a statistic because a lot of first generation people don't follow through with our education because it's significantly more difficult for all of us. And having like the intersectional identity of being African American and first generation student, I'm sure adds a lot of pressure. Yeah.
I will go. This is Michelle. I also was motivated by my parents. My parents had me when they were very young. They were 18 when I was born. And then when I was 13, they had my brother. When I was 18, they had my sister. So I was interested in coming to college, but part of the messaging I heard throughout my teenage years was that I can be the one that breaks the chain. And that if I did it, then my siblings were more likely to follow me. So I felt very motivated by that. I didn't necessarily feel any negative pressure around that. I found it, like, I took that challenge on with pride.
My parents didn't care at all whether I went to college, so I guess I'm distinct that way. I wanted to go because I think I had seen enough of the life I wanted in media connected to college that like, I remember very specifically a Snickers commercial where somebody was a reporter. Do you remember that one? And like, in the middle of the day, they ate a Snickers because their life was so busy. And I was like, that's the job I want. and so I looked it up, you know, and I talked to a teacher in high school. And they're like, yeah, you've got to go to college for that. So I was like, all right, let's go. And I also loved this show called Paper Chase, which was about law school, but it was really about, like, researching and learning and pushing yourself, and that seemed like the ideal college to me. So I wanted that experience. And my parents, my dad, to his dying day, said, I'll never understand why you needed 3 degrees. Like, he just did not understand what I was doing, but he appreciated it and he respected it. And they also couldn't afford any of it. So I had to make it. I had to make it work for myself. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, Jimena, you kind of fall in a different category of first generation because you have two parents who actually did complete college. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a bit of an oddball in this, and it took me a while to identify as a first-gen student, because in Mexico, where I'm from, all my family, everyone is expected to go to college. However, in the U.S., no one has ever successfully completed a college degree in the U.S., so by that definition, I consider myself first-gen because I was the first to go through the K-12 educational system in Chicago and then apply to a college and graduate.
Yeah, so there was kind of like this familial expectation that you go to college for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, very fair. Yeah, that's a really interesting journey. I know for myself, my parents were very gracious. When I was in high school, they were like, no, you need to go to college. It's how you get out. And I remember going to my parents when I was about 17, and I was like, Mom and Dad, I can't do it. I'm already burnt out on school, and I was very bad at high school. So they were like, you know, you don't actually have to do it. You know, do whatever makes you happy. And so I actually took 8 years before I came, 7 years? I think it was 7 years before I came back to school. And the motivation for me was I had kind of burned through all the careers I could do without a degree and was actually making decent money. I was making about $50,000 a year, which not college educated is great. But it just, I kept on wanting to go higher, and without the college degree, it just wasn't really possible. At least I didn't have the connections to make it possible. And so, now my parents are also like, I don't understand why you're going for so much. I don't know why you're doing so much, but also we're so proud of you, and like, go, oh, like, sure, have fun. So yeah, it's kind of, it's interesting though, how we all kind of have a different path to college, which I think kind of speaks to the uniqueness of a first generation experience. So like, now that we've established just how different all of our journeys are, what do we think is kind of like that unifying factor of first generation? Why do we think we're all sitting in a room together?
I think in many ways we have to pave ways for those, for our community, for our family, for our friends, for a whole identity sometimes. So I think paving ways is a major theme in our experiences.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of interviews of first generation students and past and current, and one of the common factors is that they want to give back. They want to, the end goal for everybody's career is, well, I want to find a way to get back to my community. And that's something that I always hear. And everybody's community is a little different, but it's this forward paving path. You know, Michelle, I really think about you because you're a head of, or the advisor of the First Generation Initiative in the Journalism College. Tell me about that.
Yeah. I think kind of building on the question that you asked of like what unites us or what commonalities do we have. What I've learned through more kind of research about people with the first gen experience is that there's a lot of socioeconomic similarities. Certainly it's not, you don't always have that challenge, but it's pretty common. I think feeling like an imposter is very common. Feeling a tension with your parents, even if they wanted you to be here, that discovering once you are here and you're established, you might find yourself in a different socioeconomic category, or you might feel like you've betrayed them, or maybe that you don't belong in the family that you grew up in, whether it's your immediate family or extended family. So that is some of the, again, similarities that I think a lot of us bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that the students I've talked to that I relate to the most are the ones who feel lost when they get here. I think every college and university feels like they're doing a great job at wayfinding for students, but I never hear that as actually the case for first generation students. They are so confused. And I was too. I didn't really even understand how to go to the cafeteria when I was in freshman. I spent the first 2 weeks eating on the $20 my mom gave me to get here, you know, because I just didn't understand the system, and nobody explained it until a friend finally explained it to me, you know. And so there's just so many details that make you confused about what to do. I've heard many, many students explain that, and I can totally relate to that.
Yeah,
your world kind of like triples in size a bit, and it's like, feels like it's still expanding, but it's hard to navigate that when, you know, no one immediately close to you knows what that's like.
Exactly.
So without a friend, I think, like you said, having that friend to kind of teach you like, oh, this is an advisor, or this is XYZ, like that helped me too. So I totally relate.
Yeah.
I think too, one thing that's interesting is like I remember I didn't know what a syllabus was. I'd never heard that word before. And I think consistently, whether it was revolving around academics or an event, that I was looking around to me to see how people acted and what the norms were of that situation, because I didn't know any of it. And it was very intimidating. And again, I think that feeling of being like being a fish out of water and not in your place or in your class was an idea that really stuck with me and still does. I mean, definitely. And I think it's interesting to be like a Gen Xer. Like, I'd love to have more conversations with people who are my age, because I certainly remember feeling that way at 20. But then as we've grown up and we've learned so much, and we've, or at least I've managed to seem like I can kind of navigate in this environment. But now the way that there's that tension and there's that success, and how that impacts your family relationships going forward, longer term, after 20 years, after 30 years, your finances. And I mean, it just has such broad repercussions and so many positives, but also so complicated in some ways. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Something that I kind of wanted to go back on is you mentioned imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's something that I've very much struggled with as a first generation student is, oh, I, number one, don't know what I'm doing. And number two, I am really just faking it till I make it. And the further I get into faking it, I'm like, okay, when is everybody going to figure it out? Like, and, you know, I have no reason to believe that, but it is very interesting how it feels that way, being, you know, just kind of here. It's like, oh, I'm really faking it. Like, how has nobody caught on yet? Like, this isn't what my family is or who I'm supposed to be. I can't believe I'm getting away with it. It feels like you're the kid with the hand in the cookie jar and you're running away.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And in my librarianship work, we have worked a lot with first gen students, and we try to ask questions through an asset based lens, where we ask students what are some of the positive things that they feel they brought to their education as first gen. And one of the things we learned, and I think I can relate to this quite a bit, is that they are naturally explorers. I mean, the fact that you're making that first step into a world that no one in your community or in your intimate circle knows already speaks to the spirit of that person being an explorer, someone who's daring to discover things for themselves. And so some of the results of that is that they have a lot of navigational capital. So when they're exploring, they don't know what they don't know, so they dare to do things that they don't know is a faux pas or an unwritten rule not to do that. So many of the students express understanding that later it was like, oh, you're not supposed to talk to the professor that way. But but in that process, they were actually able to were able to create new ways of being a student, and they're very resourceful, very, very resourceful, because you have nothing else to depend on except for yourself. And so from my immigrant background, that's also what impulsed me. Not only was I going through a system for the first time, I also had this kind of responsibility as an immigrant to be brave and courageous for my community. So absolutely. That's something that developing that muscle of courage has really helped me, not only through being a student, but also being a professional.
Yeah. It's funny that you talk about not knowing how to address your professors or not addressing them correctly. All of my classmates look at me like I'm crazy whenever I address my professors by their first name. And, like, I try and be respectful and everything. And, you know, if the professor is like, oh, it's doctor, I'm like, okay. Like, cool. But it's funny because I am breaking kind of, like, the societal rule. And by that, I feel like I've garnered pretty excellent, like, connections. And it's funny because I do see, like, when a first-generation student or a first-generation person makes a connection, it's strong. It is always very strong. Because, yeah, it is that kind of, like, ooh, what all can I touch and what doesn't break? So what did first generation mean when you were going to school? Was it an identity yet? And how did you kind of navigate it?
Yeah.
No.
For Gen X, it wasn't an identity. There was nothing. I say that. I have since learned that probably when I was at CSU, or possibly a couple of years before I started here, CSU gave the first gen scholarship in the nation.
Mm.
I did not get that scholarship, turns out.
Rob.
I don't think I was a contender. I had never heard of that term until decades later. So what it meant was you're kind of on your own, even more so, you know, like I didn't know it was a thing. I didn't connect with other people who were also first gen because we didn't know to find each other. There's also no social media, no groups back then. So, yeah, you just kind of figured it out. How about you, Mike?
Same. I didn't know anything until I got here. I'd never heard the term before I got to CSU as a PhD student. And like, it's interesting too, because we also had this innovation in my college my sophomore year where they started realizing they could create mentoring families. So it would be a professor, some upper class students, and then five freshmen. And they started creating these families as a way to mitigate some of this lostness. But never once did I hear them talk about students who maybe had never gone through the college experience or didn't have somebody who could tell them about it. But that was a huge innovation at the time, because it created like layers of help for students and a way to be in a classroom before classes started, which is another thing. Like, going into my first college classroom was so exciting and intimidating and everything. I didn't know what a syllabus was either. But I had, I got to be a mentor in that, and there were some students were like, what is this? I don't know what this is. And you know, it never occurred to me. Those are the first gen students, you know? So I just think it's such a major, wonderful thing that we have named it and named the experience and started to build support around it. And to talk about the strengths first gen students bring to a classroom, because they're enormous. And to the community in general. I'm really glad you brought that up. And I don't think we would understand even the insights you were talking about, Jimena, if we hadn't named this at some point as a reality, you know?
Yeah. Now, Jimena, I remember you and I have talked once before, and you were talking about, like, how you didn't really know what was going on campus, and because you didn't know you had a student email at the time, you were probably kind of, like, on the cusp of when that was becoming popular. So, like, were you aware of the first generation label at that point, or, like, what was going on there?
Yeah, that is a theme in my life. I'm in the cusp of a lot of things such as first gen. So my grappling with first gen was a complicated process for me. I first struggled with it because I felt shame. At the time, it was presented as a badge of honor, but I couldn't understand how being the first I went to college means that I came from an uneducated family, and that carried some shame for me. I felt shame. I didn't want to represent my family that way, especially because most of my family have doctorate degrees and and the expectation was for me to go to college. So I was a bit confused. I was a bit confused. I was like, I don't get it. Why is that? Why would you be proud of that? And I'm honest and admit to that, but really was not appreciating at that time what it meant to be a first generation, someone in first gen. And so when I started to open myself to understanding what it meant to be first gen, I started to see how I related to a lot of the experiences. And then I suddenly realized, well, I am first gen. There's no negating it. And I am first gen. And I should be proud of that. I should be proud of my role as the first person. And then later, my uncle told me, well, actually, just a conversation with my uncle, he says, you're going to be the first with a doctorate degree in social sciences in that way. In Mexico, we have medical doctors, but it's not considered the same thing. And so then it really did become obvious to me that I was first gen in the way, the level of education that I was pursuing is first gen. So now I wear it with a badge of honor and feel very proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Betty.
Oh, I guess I should talk now, right? Okay. So... Well, I was going to say that I also didn't know anything about first gen when I first got to school. Honestly, it was even before then I understood that there was a difference when I was applying for schools, and I didn't know what FAFSA was. I didn't know how to, you know, make a college application or scholarships. I had no idea about that. But I knew that, like, the fact that I was getting help from other people felt like there was something that's different. So there wasn't a label until I think that I got to college. I could see signs about, like, you know, there's a scholarship for first generations and stuff like that. That's when I started to realize, like, oh, yeah, like, that's me. But that's when, like, the second time I got to college. Like, the first time in 2020, it was all about COVID. Like, that was the only thing that anyone was ever worried about. So I was just on, like, I was learning how to be an adult. I was also learning how to not get COVID and learning how to be a college student. So it was like first gen was like not a thing in my mind. So when I went back to Front Range, that's when I realized that, like, I am first gen, and this has been, you know, an experience for a long time. So yeah, I could see how that courage part is really big on first generation students, especially from immigrant families, I think, because my parents had that language barrier of, like, not knowing any of the applications and not knowing what to do. So I had to just be the one that's like, okay, I'm going to read the instructions and I'm going to figure it out myself.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious because I know that, like, you and I have probably had resources and access to FAFSA in a very different way, because I fill out my FAFSA online, and that is sweet. Just logging in, sending it off at, like, midnight, getting that, like, email where it's, like, instantly received. I'm like, okay, good night. But Mike and Michelle, that was probably not the case for you. You guys were probably doing this in a much different way. What were the resources like for filling out FAFSA? Did you fill out FAFSA even?
I don't remember a FAFSA. I will tell you, though, that there were a lot more scholarship and grant opportunities back then, like, as from the federal government specifically, it was a lot more supportive for students in the 80s than it is today. There's been a lot of erosion of that support, and it's one of the things I worry most about for students, is that it's just a much more financially precarious adventure to go on these days than it was for us. Is that how you feel too?
Yeah, definitely. My parents were very supportive. I don't know if it was called the FAFSA, but my dad filled out the paperwork, the financial aid paperwork. So I was fortunate with that. And I agree with Mike. I think what's interesting right now is the research clearly shows that with a college degree, your earning potential is so much more than what it is without a college degree. However, a college degree has gotten to be so much more expensive. So I think the word precarious is very appropriate. Like, there's this very fine line of, like, yes, this is worth it, but the amount of debt that people are accruing these days can get to a point where it's problematic. Whereas when I was in school, I did accrue debt. I had probably $24,000 in student loans, which was a lot back then. But my first year out of school, I earned $18,000, which I know doesn't sound like a lot. But if you think about it, if I could have used all of that $18,000 to pay that part of my loan, I mean, it almost paid for itself in a year. You know, within 2 years, it paid for itself. So that makes good financial sense. But I know, again, college is more expensive now. There's fewer financial resources. So people have to be, you know, just wise about how they utilize those loans. And that's why I think things like going to a community college at first can make a lot of sense, because you can still get that degree without as much financial hardship.
Yeah, I know for me, going to community college was definitely, it was the only way I was able to access education, especially being out of the game for 8 years, not having a great GPA when I graduated high school. And then also, you know, it's expensive out here. I look at my bank account every day and I'm like, that is so curious. Don't know how I'm going to make it through that one, but okay. Community college is kind of, at least for me, from what I've seen, the path that a lot of first-generation students are now taking, because it is just the most financial sense. So it is interesting how that has also changed. I also feel like the attitude towards community colleges has changed pretty drastically within the last, 10 years.
If you know what you're talking about, you know to respect community colleges and respect what they do. Mm-hmm. The teachers there are completely dedicated to teaching. I know the students who've come up through Ames or from Front Range into our department have been some of the best students we've had. So it is a really smart way to do it. I'm not talking people out of coming here right away as a first year, but I think there's a more intensive kind of teaching happening at a lot of community colleges in those early courses that prepare them for the classes that Michelle and I teach mainly.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, this has been the premiere episode of the First Generation Roundtable Podcast. Join us next week for our finale episode of this two-part series, where we will be continuing the discussion, talking about first-generation identities here at Colorado State University. Until then, we hope you have a lovely rest of the week, and we will see you next time, friends. Bye-bye.